It's lovely to have Bob and Eilish and the children back with us, and it's now my pleasure to ask Brother Bob to exhort us.
I say good morning, everybody. It's a bit different. I think last time I was here speaking was last year. So there's a few new faces and stuff in the audience, so nice to see you all, nice to meet you all. So how is everyone feeling this morning? We've heard about a few of the members of this ecclesia who are feeling feeling not so well, but how are you feeling this morning? How do you feel? Are you sad that Christ had to die for you? Are you angry that once more and once again you failed to serve again, you've fallen short of that mark? Are you annoyed you failed? Or are you happy? Were you experiencing joy? Or another feeling? So we've all had our own weeks. We don't know each other's weeks. You don't know what I've done this week. I don't know what you've done this week and what you've experienced at work or however you pass your time in the week. I don't know what you've been up to and you don't know what I've been doing. But all I want you to do is keep those thoughts in mind about your feelings this morning. Keep them in mind for the next 20 or 30 minutes. I promise I won't talk too long. And we'll see how you feel after we've gone and looked at the scriptures about this morning. And then we'll see how we feel. So to kick us off, I want to try and bring this memorial service, these emblems, to life a little more by using an analogy a little more. So please try and imagine it in detail and bear with me. This does become relevant. And again, apologies if anyone doesn't particularly like what I say or it invokes emotions they don't necessarily want to repeat. I apologise for that in advance. Anyway, just imagine tonight you're at home. You've sat down on your sofa and you have your favourite book or your favourite television programme on or your favourite Sudoku, and you're sitting there just relaxing, thinking, oh, it's been a nice day. It's a good job Bob shut up early so I could get on with my evening. And you're nice and relaxed and all calm, thinking, I'm probably going to go to bed soon. I've got a busy week ahead of me. And then smash, your front door opens, comes flying off the hinges. People come running into your house. There's noise, there's stuff going on. And you suddenly realise that these people are very angry and you are under attack. You have no reason, no idea why it is just happening. And you realise, and you weren't well in the lights, and you think, that's it, I'm done for. There's nothing you can do, this situation is beyond you. And then in walks a man, removes the people, and a still small voice says, how are you? You okay? They're gone. They're not coming back. And they will never return. How would you feel? How would you feel? Would you feel relief? Would you feel happiness? Would you feel joy? Maybe a little scared, but overall, a sense of joy that your life has been saved. I know how I would feel. My heart would be pounding, I'd have adrenaline pumping from my body, but this overwhelming feeling of joy that I came that close, but someone saved me. Saved me and took me away from that fearful situation. I've never been in a situation that severe ever in my life. I've nearly crashed cars and managed not to, and felt that fear of, oh, well, that was close. Can explain that one to mum and dad later. But I've never been to the extremes of having my life in danger. But how would you feel? I put it to you that this morning we're experiencing exactly that. We may not feel it right now. We're sitting in comfort. It's a nice warm building. It's a bit drizzly outside, but we're dry, aren't we? And we're safe. And we're all like-minded people. No one's against each other. And the rules of this country are that this is completely okay. So, but we are experiencing that. And what I want to do is go and look at some passages now to show you why I say that. So let's go to Romans chapter 6 and to kick us off. Romans 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's pretty clear, isn't it? If we sin, we deserve death. There's no questions about it. There's no, oh, but if it's only a little bit, no. Wages of sin is death. And the only way to life is gift of God. And if you go to chapter 3 of Romans and go down to verses 23 and 24, it gets a little bit worse for us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. So there we are. We have all sinned and the wage of sin is death. So we're all in this situation, aren't we, where we're going to die. Lost my Bible. Where's it gone? There it is. But we are being justified freely by the grace of the redemption of Jesus Christ. We are saved through Christ, aren't we? I think there's many passages we could turn up. I spent time trying to find passages about Christ saving us. There's loads of them, isn't there? But we know that we are saved through Christ. So, again, we highlight there that we've all sinned. So we've all got to die. We're all going to die. But through Christ, we are saved. Does that sound similar to our analogy we started with? We're guaranteed death, and then someone saves us. It leads me on to think that we have a chronic problem. We have a chronic issue problem of treating the truth as a sad thing. Something that we all sit there and go, yeah, it's all sad, don't we? We all do it. I've heard of speakers saying that we should weep in the memorial service with sadness. We call it a memorial service. It sounds pretty dull. Not dull, that's the wrong word, sorry. Sad. There we are. We'll go with that word. It's not dull at all. Sorry about that. So we have this chronic problem, the gospel. I'm sure many of you know what the gospel means in its like original language, but it's good news, good message. It's not called the sad and depressing message, is it? It's called the good news. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. This is like one of my favourite passages in the Bible, when it starts talking about the fruits of the flesh. Not fruits of the flesh, that's completely and utterly not my favourite passage. The fruits of the Spirit, I think it's all nice things to try and get focus your life around. It's always nice to read them. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, if this was my Sunday school class, I'd go through and what each one of those words mean, because some of them I don't have the foggiest about. But we're going to work on the logic that we all sort of know. But the one I want to focus on is the word joy there. Joy. Joy is one of the fruits of the fruits of the flesh. No. Oh, man, there's too many Fs. Fruits of the Spirit, but not sadness. I will also note, if you look just above that, the fruits of the flesh, we're not going to read those, but sadness is nowhere in that list. Now, I want to be very clear here, very, very, very clear. Sadness is not a sin, nor is sadness and depression a reflection on your relationship with God. I've heard people say that if you're sad or depressed, it's because you have a bad relationship with God. I completely disagree with that, and I want to be very clear about that. What I am saying, though, is one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. So we should seek those fruits of the Spirit. We should seek those in our life. We should be seeking joy. We should be seeking love. We should be seeking peace. We should be seeking to be long-suffering and gentle, be good, have faith, meekness, temperance. We should be seeking these things in our life. A lack of them isn't a problem, but we should be seeking to have them in our life. We should have, as you turn through the Bible and look about passages to do with joy, you realise there's a lot of things to be joyful about, even when we have nothing. We can still have joy in our lives. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7 for the first one. Mm-hmm. go thy way, eat bread with joy, and drink thy wine with merry heart, for God has accepted thy works. So we see that God has accepted our works, so we should be joyful about that. Although we fall short, our works are accepted, aren't they? Proverbs 10 is another one, 10:28. For the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, and the exception of the wicked shall perish. So again, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, joy. They're the same sort of things, aren't they? We've got another one in Luke 15, verse 7. There's not many of these, bear with me. I say unto you, this is part of the parables, and Jesus is talking about people the sheep coming back to the fold, the lost coins and those sort of things. So I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just people which need no repentance. So our repentance, our seeking to be made whole again, our baptisms, it's quite often this passage is referenced, that creates much joy in heaven. So why can't it create joy for us here? Why can't we be joyful? And then the other thing is, we have that hope, don't we? We have that hope of the resurrection. If we go to yesterday's reading in 1 Corinthians 15, lost Corinthians, there it is. 1 Corinthians 15, and then what verse was it? It was 19 and 20. This is when we're talking about the resurrection. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now in Christ risen from the dead, and because of the and become the first fruits of them that slept, we know that we can be joyful. So that's talking about that if in this life, the only hope we only have this life and this life that we've got currently, even with Christ, it's still a relatively miserable existence. So you look at the chaos that is Brexit, and the rate at which we treat each other, the rising homeless problem in the UK, and all these sort of problems that exist in Britain and the world globally. It's quite a miserable existence. You think, well, global warming, there's no hope for us there. Politics can't seem to sort themselves out, and they're the ones that are meant to govern our country for us. And you go through this whole list, and you think, oh, to be honest, there's a lot to be miserable about. But it isn't this life that we're looking to, is it? We're looking to that future life, that one where Christ has risen and become the first fruits after the resurrection. So we can be joyful about that. We would be miserable if we didn't have that hope, but we have that hope, don't we? So we have something to be joyful about. So, to draw our thoughts to a close, I told you I wouldn't speak for too long. Draw our thoughts to a close. I want to then consider what we should be doing this morning. Because we come here regularly, don't we? And I for one, sometimes end up coming just because it's what I do on a Sunday morning. As I go to Sunday school, I go to there, then I go to the meeting. And sometimes you think, well, am I here because I want to be here, or because there's something I need to be doing, or because it's a habit? Well, let's look at why we should be here. 1 Corinthians 11. So back a few pages. And apologies to Tom if this steps on his toes for in a minute. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 and 29. So this is just after talking about the process of what the emblems are and what we should be doing. And everything like that, and why this whole service exists. And then 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For whoever eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So we go back to that passage in Romans that we read where it says all have sinned and all have fallen short. You suddenly realise that we're all unworthy to take of these emblems, aren't we? We're all sinned, we're all fallen short, we're all that. But we have that redemption, don't we? Let's go to Ephesians to just give us that point. Ephesians 1 verses 3 and 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Jump down to verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. So we've just read that if we take these emblems and we're unworthy, that we are accepting Christ's death and damnation. Unworthiness is bad, isn't it? And then we look and we realise that we are unworthy. None of us in this room, and I'm pretty sure, I'm 100% happy to say that none of us are worthy of taking of these emblems. But in that Ephesians passage, verse 7, in whom have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our sins. You are now worthy. You pray, you ask for forgiveness. God will remove those sins as far as east is from west, infinitely far. You are now worthy to take of them. So, back to our original thought. How are you this morning? How do you feel? How do you feel the fact that you can take of those? Although, before you ask for forgiveness, you are not worthy, but now you are. Thank you for listening.